Members, please take your seats, turn off or silence all cell phones and electronic devices. Children, Families, and Senior Subcommittee will now come to order. Jude Lean, please call roll and announce a quorum.
Chair Coster.
Here.
Representatives Basabi.
Here.
Bearfield. Black.
Here.
Barrero.
Here.
Gossett Seidman.
Here.
Harris.
Here.
Joseph.
Here.
Lopez.
Here.
Maney.
Yes, ma'am.
Michael.
Yes, here.
Placencia.
Here.
Rayner Goolsbee.
Present.
Roach.
Present.
Robinson.
Here.
Tremont.
Here.
Williams.
Here.
And Woodson. A quorum is present, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Jude Lean. Welcome, members. Today we've got eight bills on our agenda, and before we take up our first bill, I am going to turn over the gavel to our beloved Vice Chair so I can step out quickly and present a bill. So Vice Chair Maney is going to take over. Thank you.
Representative Mello, you're recognized to explain House Bill 1349.
Good morning, and thank you, Chair Maney and members of the committee, for your consideration of HB 1349 today. This bill addresses two key areas, the designation of Baker Act facilities and the inefficiencies in the forensic mental health system. Baker Act receiving facilities are designated by DCF, and these designations have a lifespan of 3 years before they need to be renewed. Currently, DCF has two options with handling designation renewals. Renew the designation or deny it, which means the facility cannot admit further patients. If a receiving facility that's rural, located in a rural location, the sole provider for an area falls out of compliance around the same time they need to renew their designation and are not able to address everything in time, the department falls into the dilemma of a lose-lose situation to either, one, deny the designation due to the lack of compliance, or two, accept the designation because having something is better than having nothing. In recognition of this non-ideal scenario, I am asking that we authorize DCF to have a third option, which is a 60-day conditional designation that will empower DCF and assist providers with meeting standards of care without disrupting their crucial crisis care services. Also, with the demand for mental health treatment growing in the state over the last few years, a forensic waitlist has developed for beds at DCF's treatment facilities. With bottlenecks having been identified throughout the restoration process, these process inefficiencies have led to delays, needlessly preventing defendants from regaining their mental competency to allow them to stand trial for their crimes. In the bill, it requires expert evaluators and courts to consider alternative treatment options before ordering placement at a state mental health treatment facility. It also proposes changes to speed up the restoration process by, one, ensuring defendants receive necessary medications while they await transfer from the jail to a treatment facility, two, requiring defendants to be picked up within 7 days from a facility once they are clinically cleared, and three, having the court hold a competency hearing within 30 days of notification that the defendant has been clinically cleared. Members, this bill is all about ensuring Floridians receive the crisis care they need, regardless of where they live, and recognizing the priority of the mental health component involved with getting justice. That is the bill, Chair.
Thank you, Representative Mello. Are there any questions? Any questions from the committee? All right. Seeing none, let's move to public testimony. Chad Corcoran of DCF waves in support. Is there any debate on the bill? Yes, ma'am. Representative Lopez.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you so much, Rep. Mello, for this incredibly good bill. I have understood that there has been that gap, and this is going to fix it. And I think you are a champion of mental health, and I really appreciate you bringing this good bill forward.
Do you want to respond to that, Representative Mello? You certainly may if you'd like to.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Representative Lopez, for your kind remarks and also for getting back with me when I reached out to you about the bill.
Thank you. Okay. You're recognized to close, Representative Mello.
Chair, I waive close.
All right, if you'll call the roll, please, and announce the vote.
Representatives Basabi?
Yes.
Bearfield? Black?
Yes.
Borrero?
Yes.
Gossett Seidman?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
Lopez?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes.
Michael?
Yes.
Placencia?
Yes.
Rayner Goolsbee?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Tremont?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
16 yeas and 0 nays.
Representative, the members, by your vote, House Bill 1349 will be reported favorably. Representative Mello, congratulations.
Thank you, Chair and members.
Representative Tant, you're recognized to explain CS for HB 813.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So thank you also to Representative Koster and to you, Chair Maney, and to Ranking Member Robinson for scheduling this bill. I greatly appreciate it. House Bill 813 codifies case law and common law provisions setting forth guidelines for courts as to how to provide for parental support of dependent adult children who were rendered incapacitated through a physical or mental issue that occurred before the age of majority. The courts are clear on guidance from us as to how to provide for a minor child under 18. However, the law is silent as to how to address this for parents of incapacitated dependent adult children. What this bill does is set forth the following parameters to be taken into consideration by our courts when determining parental support of adult children. The dependent child's income and assets, any existing or future needs of the dependent adult child directly related to the physical or mental incapacity and the care they need to provide for that child, whether a child is paying for or providing substantial care for the dependent adult child, the financial resources available to each parent to provide that care or other sources of income that might be available to that child, and most importantly, the bill requires the court to consider state or federal need-based programs or benefits that the dependent adult child is receiving that a court order may run afoul of for eligibility. What we don't want to do is knock them off their benefits if they have them. So by codifying common law and providing these guidelines to courts and determining appropriate financial guidelines for courts to consider, we are helping our courts and helping our families. There is no fiscal impact, and members, that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative Tant. Are there any questions of the sponsor from the committee? Seeing none, I guess we go to the amendment next. Representative Tant, you're recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The strike all amendment before you preserves the underlying bill as passed by civil justice, but also includes technical and procedural suggestions brought to us by the real property and probate section of the law of the Florida Bar and elder law sections of the Florida Bar, clarifying current practice requiring that support claims are brought forward in separate proceedings from guardianship proceedings. Members, that's the amendment.
Thank you. Are there any questions of the sponsor for the amendment? Seeing none, I think we have one public. Lisa Hurley. Okay. Is there any other public testimony? Is there debate on the amendment? All right, you may close on your amendment.
Waive close, Mr. Chair.
Great. Without objection, show the amendment adopted. All right, now we're on public testimony for the bill. Lisa Hurley again. Family law section waives in support. Any other public testimony? If there's anybody here who wants to testify and hasn't already signed up, you can do that by turning in one of the cards. All right. I guess we didn't have any more. Any debate on the bill? Well, we're rocking and rolling this afternoon. Okay. Representative Tant, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, members, for taking up this bill. I do ask for your support. We need to help our courts know how to help families who have children who are not going to be able to provide for themselves when they get over the age of majority. And so that's what this bill does, and thank you for helping our courts have some guidelines.
Thank you, Representative Tant. Julene, if you'll call the roll, please, on CS for HB 813 and announce the vote.
Representatives Basabi?
Yes.
Bearfield? Black?
Yes.
Barrero?
Yes.
Gossett-Seidman?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
Lopez?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes, ma'am.
Michael?
Yes.
Placencia?
Yes.
Rainer Goolsbee?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Tremont?
Yes.
Williams? Woodson?
Yes.
15 yeas and 0 nays.
The bill's reported favorably as amended. Congratulations.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you all.
Representative Plakin, you're recognized to explain House Bill 1517.
Thank you, Chair and members of the committee. I appreciate the opportunity to present HB 1517 today for your consideration. This bill provides greater transparency and accountability within the system of care for serving those often most vulnerable. This bill provides the opportunity to create greater visibility, to share best practices, while also ensuring service delivery exceeds expectations when serving individuals with developmental disabilities. The bill also removes obsolete statutory language. Specifically, the bill would require APD to license adult day training facilities. Adult day training programs provide services intended to support the participation of individuals with developmental disabilities in their community. Adult day training programs provide individuals with training and assistance with acquisition, retention, or improvement in self-help, socialization, and adaptive skills. They also provide recreational and other activities to enhance social development and development of skills in performing activities of daily living and community living. In addition to activities designed to foster the acquisition of skills, adult day training programs assist individuals with building positive social behavior and interpersonal competence, greater independence, and personal choice. APD's iBudget waiver currently has over 13,000 clients utilizing ADT services. While we know there are great providers within this space, within the past 4 years, approximately 2,800 incident reports have been received by APD related to ADT services. Licensing ADT programs will give APD the authority to set quality standards and ensure appropriate client care for the approximately 320 ADT programs around our great state. Currently, the only recourse APD has to address deficiencies is termination of the provider through the Medicaid Waiver Service Agreement. By ensuring the quality of their operation and service delivery, we are not only benefiting the lives of thousands among one of our state's most vulnerable populations, but also creating the opportunity to share best practices. The bill also removes obsolete language, and many of us may remember the incidents that took place at Carlton Palms, which resulted in accounts of abuse, neglect, and resident deaths. APD closed Carlton Palms in 2018. This was the only entity which ever applied for and received licensure as a comprehensive transitional education program, a CTEP. Instead, we prefer to keep folks in their homes or their communities. This bill eliminates the possibility of future CTEPs from opening up in our great state. Members, again, the bill provides APD with a great line of sight to ensure quality standards for serving some of our most vulnerable populations while also removing statutory language that is no longer necessary. And that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative Plakin. Are there any questions of the sponsor on the bill? Questions of the sponsor on the bill? Seeing none, Representative Plakin, you're recognized to present amendment barcode 011023 on behalf of Representative Stevenson.
Thank you, Chair. Members, this amendment is intended to streamline and clarify current processes for the Agency for Persons with Disabilities. This amendment clarifies the timeframes that APD must meet when making eligibility determinations and addressing requests for enrollment onto the iBudget Florida waiver due to a crisis. The amendment resolves a conflict in statute, which clarifies the coordination of crisis services for individuals in emergency situations with assistance from both APD and DCF. Regardless of an applicant's status with the agency, APD assists applicants in assessing supports to address immediate emergencies through appropriate programs outside of APD, such as Child and Adult Protective Services, emergency rooms, or with emergency responders. APD operates the iBudget waiver, which offers community-based services and supports as an alternative for clients who would otherwise meet the level of need for individuals served in an ICF. This clarifies that in order to be eligible for iBudget waiver services, an individual must be domiciled in Florida and meet the rule and statutory requirements of having a developmental disability. Additionally, the individual must meet additional federal Medicaid requirements. This amendment also clarifies the agency's role in authorizing admission into an intermediate care facility. APD must conduct an assessment of medical necessity, level of care, and level of reimbursement in order for an individual to be admitted to an ICF. However, the amendment removes obsolete language that references an agreement with the Department of Elder Affairs to conduct an assessment. As always, placement in an ICF is the choice of the individual and their legal representative. APD ensures that clients and legal representatives seeking placement in an ICF are educated regarding the choice between iBudget waiver services in the community and ICF services. Members, that is the amendment.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Representative Plakin. Okay, now, are there any questions from the members on the amendment? Representative Joseph.
Thank you, Mr.
You're
Chair.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I tried to reach out to Representative Stevenson about this amendment beforehand, but we weren't able to connect. So my question is, at line four, it talks about the agency must authorize admission into an intermediate care facility for developmentally disabled individual. Why must?
You're recognized, Representative Plakin.
Thank you, Chair. I'm assuming you're talking about line 55.
Yes, line 55 on page 3 of 8, yes.
I did
recognized.
Have...
Go ahead.
Thank
you're
you,
recognized.
Chair. I did have my own concerns about the way this is worded, and the agency assured me that they will be filing with me a clarifying amendment going forward. But what the intent of this in this particular section is that if someone chooses an ICF, then the agency would authorize it, would need to authorize that.
Any follow-up, Representative Joseph? You're
yes,
recognized.
Yes, please. Thank you. So it's my understanding by the next stop, it will say something to the effect of upon selection by the family, then must, and just not automatically must. Am I understanding that correctly?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not sure as to the exact wording of that, but it will be a clarifying amendment, and that is something that is very important to me. So thank you for that important question.
Follow-up?
Representative Joseph.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My other question is for the section above it that was crossed out, section number two, or subsection number two, so lines 45 through 49. And I'm trying to figure out why we're eliminating the 45-day emergency eligibility determination.
You're recognized, Representative.
Thank you, Chair. Mostly that was the clarifying amendment, because it is on line 24. That does mention the 45 days. And the agency conveyed to me that was because there was a discrepancy in two places in the statute, and this was clarifying things as to what their timeline would be.
Okay, thank you. Follow up?
Yes, ma'am.
So basically, it was moved to the other section of 25, at line 24, so it was just redundant at the next part. Is that right?
Representative Blake.
Thank you, Chair. What I was told was that in one place in the statute, it had that they immediately would need to act, and then in another place in the statute, it said that after qualifying that they would need to act. So this, the 45 days clarifies, but I don't believe that was an actual change. I think it was more for clarifying. And to my knowledge, there are representatives here from the agency should they wish to speak on this matter further.
Thank you. And
Representative Joseph.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I don't know what would be the appropriate protocol, but I would love to hear any clarification that the agency had on those specific questions if they are available during public testimony when that time comes.
When we get to public testimony. I think we're almost there anyway.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Any other questions by any other members on the amendment? You're recognized to close on the amendment.
Wave close.
No, I guess I should have called for public testimony.
Okay.
After I just said we're going to have public testimony. Is there any public testimony on the amendment? All right.
And hi.
If you'll identify yourself, please. Have you turned in a statement form? Great. Give it to one of the sergeants when you get through, please.
Absolutely. Will do, Chair. Thank you so much. My name is Gina Heron. I'm the Chief of Staff for the Agency for Persons with Disabilities. To clarify a couple of things for you, Representative Joseph, fantastic question. So the ICF level of care is necessary for us to assess for waiver enrollment. So in order to be eligible for the iBudget waiver, you have to meet a level of care to be served in an ICF. That is you waiving your right to that ICF level of care. So that is what the waiver envisions in that. To get back to your other question, we do have some conflicting statute, and that aligns us into what the amendment will do is align us to have 45 days to submit or to review an initial application. What happens a number of times is that folks will serve and submit an application, and we don't have all the necessary documentation. That way, it will give us 90 days to assess that application. That is not to say we are not providing immediate services. We work with our sister agencies to stabilize clients up front, usually through DCF with services like Adult Protective Services, to stabilize that individual. And then those iBudget waiver services will kick in after that.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So great to see that smile again. My question, so the follow-up is the same question that I initially asked about the must authorize. I heard the clarification that was shared. Can you share with us what additional clarifications you're planning on doing so that it's must? It sounds like maybe tied to the election of the family, but I'm not sure.
Sure. So, yes. So APD serves two roles with ICFs or intermediate care facilities. So not only do you have to meet an ICF level of care to be enrolled on the iBudget waiver, we also house the central admissions for ICFs. So either way, those folks are coming through the agency.
Okay. Any other questions on the amendment? Okay, we're in public.
Yeah.
That was public testimony. I apologize. Member, do we have more public testimony? Okay, members in debate on the amendment. Okay, seeing none, Representative, you're recognized to close on your amendment.
Waive close.
Having waived close, without objection, we will show that amendment adopted. And we are now back on the bill as amended in public testimony. J.P. Bell, APD, waiving in support of the bill as amended. Thank you for being here. That concludes public testimony. Members, any debate on the bill as amended? Okay, seeing none, Representative Plakin, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, this bill will protect some of our most vulnerable Floridians. And with that, I close.
Representative Plakin, having closed on her bill, Julene, please call the roll on HB 1517 and announce a vote.
Representatives Basabi?
Yes.
Bearfield? Black?
Yes.
Barrero?
Yes.
Gossett-Seidman?
Yes.
Harris? Joseph?
Yes.
Lopez?
Yes.
Maney? Michael?
Yes.
Placencia?
Yes.
Rayner Goolsbee?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Tremont?
Yes.
Williams? Woodson?
Yes.
Chair Coster?
Yes.
14 yeas and zero nays.
Thank you. Members, by your vote, we'll show HB 1517 reported favorably as amended. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Next up, members, we are going to take HB 1101, Education for Children and Young Adults in Out-of-Home Care, by our very own Representative Tremont from the podium. Representative Tremont, you're recognized to explain HB 1101.
Thank you, Madam Chair, for hearing this bill. Thank you, Vice Chair, Ranking Member, and members of this committee. I'm very privileged and blessed to serve with. It's an honor on the first day of Children's Week here in the Florida House to present House Bill 1101. It's a pretty simple bill that gives us really another tool in the box to help the foster children in our state be properly educated on their protections and their benefits. This is currently an expected existing practice, but what we're doing with this bill is not just updating our delivery mechanism, but we're also putting it in statute as a requirement for DCF to develop age-appropriate materials explaining those protections for our caseworkers to personally explain them to the child every 6 months. As you know, our laws are constantly evolving. We're also requiring DCF to work with current and former foster youth to develop those materials, as well as establishing the Office of the Ombudsman to perform numerous duties and responsibilities in that arena, and that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative Tremont. Members, any questions on the bill? Okay, seeing none, we do have an amendment. Representative Tremont, you're recognized to present amendment barcode 773331.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This amendment just removes duplicative language and processes that aligns the Ombudsman's responsibilities with those currently carried out by the Ombudsman, and requires stronger language requiring DCF to consult with current and former foster youth when developing these educational materials, and that is the amendment.
Thank you, Representative. Members, any questions on the amendment? Okay, we are in public testimony on the amendment. Andrea Tovar, Florida Children First, waving in support. Jory Seldine, Florida Children First, waving in support. And that concludes public testimony on the amendment. Members, any debate on the amendment? Okay, seeing none, you're recognized to close on your amendment.
I waive close.
Okay. Having waived closed without objection, we will show that amendment adopted, and we are now in public testimony on the bill as amended. Isaac Sedino, Florida Youth Shine, a proponent of the bill. You're recognized if you would like to speak. Yes, come forward, you're recognized.
Hey, Mrs. Chair and ladies and gentlemen of the jury. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been in too much court. So ladies and gentlemen of the committee, my name is Isaac Sedino. I was in foster care in Sarasota County. I am a member of the Minnesota chapter, which is the Manatee Sarasota chapter of Florida Youth Shine. Thank you for letting me speak today. And I am in favor of the House Bill 1101 because it has provided me many available resources, such as the post-secondary education support service, which is right when you age out, it helps you get assisted with situating yourself and anything that has to do with housing, budgeting, and living expenses. Also, another program called the Key to Independence program, and it's with getting prepared for youth to get their licenses and take their classes in order to get their license from the DMV and be a driver on the road. And I feel like and the tuition waiver, which allow kids and youth in the program to continue their education. And that's something that I also took advantage of myself. I've graduated with my EMT certification, and I'm back in college to get my AA in criminal justice and teaching. And I feel like with youth knowing the resources available to them, it can help the youth having a brighter future and what's to come. So thank you for letting me have that moment to speak. And
thank you. Thank you so much for being here and for sharing your story.
Thank you. Thank you.
And congratulations on education. Keep going.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, we have Antonia Fade, Florida Youth Shine. You are recognized. And I hope I pronounced your name correctly.
Greetings and humble citation. My name is Antonia Fetty. I would like to first thank you all for providing me and my peers an opportunity to speak with you today and for the good work that you're doing for the future youth in foster care. I'm currently a senior in the social work program at the illustrious Florida Agriculture and Mechanical University. I am representing the Florida Youth Shine, a part of the Treasure Coast chapter, and I am 20 years old, and I am here to speak to you on why I am in favor of Bill HB 1101. I grew up in and out of care primarily my whole life. Growing up in care, I had to live a life of stoicism. I had to be resilient, I had to be headstrong, and I had to be demanding. This caused me to be viewed as an aggressive individual, but in reality, I was just a little girl trying to live a normal life. My last time placed in care was when I was 16 years old. Instead of doors being naturally open, I had to break them down. Due to me being adamant and of my wants and having supportive adults in my life, they were able to advocate for me to do various things, such as being able to play basketball and stay at my same school, which was Fort Pierce Central High School. I had the privilege to get my first job at Burger King, attend court, and vocally express my wants, such as adoption. I wouldn't consider that being in care was detrimental to me. I believe that it was an important part of my life, which scoped me to be the successful young Black African-American woman that I am today. Being able to graduate college free of debt due to the tuition waiver, I have a place to call home now. I also have the ability to give back to the community, and I also have the ability to network in various settings, such as attending Children's Week and advocating for the youth that's coming behind me. I am fortunate that I have been able to benefit from so many good laws put in place. This bill will ensure that the future youth in care have the opportunity to thrive like myself by educating and enhancing them on the laws and policies that you all have put in place and empowering them so they can be successful like me. I would like to say thank you all for listening to me and my story and my peers.
Thank you so much for being here and for sharing with us.
Next up, we have Gloria Noel Ladine Richardson, Florida Youth Shine. You are recognized.
Thank you. Before I get started, I would like to thank all of you guys for letting me and my peers speak today and advocating for foster care youth. My name is Glory Richardson. I am 18 years old, and I am part of the Pinellas Pasco chapter of Florida Youth Shine. Right now, I currently attend Bogasega High School, and I'm in the works to be certified as a certified nursing assistant. Today, I am in favor of House Bill 1101. I came into care around 14, and I'm still currently in care. I'm in extended foster care while I finished high school. At the age of 14, my mind was preset on not staying in foster care. It was to get out, to leave, and figure everything out on my own from all the comments that other people have had experience-wise. But at age 16, my case manager called me and informed me about extended foster care and told me that it would be a great benefit for me. Because of her telling me the benefits of extended foster care and telling me what to expect, it helped me open my mind and change my view on what I have to say. It gave me opportunity, it gave me options, and because of that, I am now in a safe place to continue to learn life skills and to be a self-sufficient adult. This bill is important to me because it hurts to see youth become statistics in this world. It hurts to see youth just not care about their lives and have them just think nobody cares about them. I am in favor of this bill because I want to see youth be able to go off of their opportunity, go after it, and go to their fullest potential and have that support. They should know that they have the support. They should know they should be educated on the fact that they are loved, and there are people out here that do care. It is not just set people that don't care. Everybody cares. And that brings me to that they can just create dreams, including me. I am, like I said, I am currently in high school. I'm ready to graduate soon, and I'm working towards a lot of things. I have a lot of opportunities that I wouldn't have been able to have if I didn't know about extended foster care. I want to thank you all for your time and allowing me and my peers to speak again. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here. Oh. Do you have a question?
Ish.
For the speaker?
Yes.
Do you want to save it for debate-ish, or do you have a question?
It's directly for her.
Okay, go ahead. You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I just want to thank you so much for telling your story. You actually are in my district. And so I also want to extend to you the ability to come up to my office. I would love to speak with you about how I can personally help you to further the goals that you have, especially you're literally around the corner from my house. And it is so beautiful to see you up here. I know all of the members of this committee would agree. And all of these amazing young people. But I would love to talk with you after and just see how I can personally help you any way that I can.
Definitely. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Jory Seldine, Florida Children's First, waving in support. Thank you for being here. Andrea Tovar, Florida Children's First, waving in support. Thank you so much for being here. Members, we are now in debate, and I know all of us feel very strongly about our children, and particularly our foster youth children. So while I am going to give everybody who wants to speak an opportunity, I will just remind you we have several bills still on the agenda for today that we need to get to. So with that being said, Representative Woodson, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you so much for coming up with this bill. Children aging out of the foster care system is everyone's responsibility because they are not responsible for how they were born, where they come from. We have a system that tends to do less than more for those kids. And it's time that we do what we need to do as legislators to make sure that they become self-sufficient. Last year, I introduced House Bill 1577. I work with Youth Chine, and I was able to pass the bill that was signed by the governor called Homeless Youth, House Bill 1577. And it really provides some of the support system, like the Key to Independence, provide the support system that they need. I appreciate your work on this because this is a population that is very dear to my heart, and I look forward to continuing to work with you because we have the housing piece we need to address, because once they leave foster care system, they don't have a place to stay, and we see the issue of the housing. So I appreciate your work. I appreciate every young man and woman who has spoken as well, and you try and know that I'm there with you as well to continue to work with you. Thank you so much, Mr. Chair.
Ranking Member Robinson, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chair. And I just want to thank Representative Tremont and thank the young people in Youth Shine. When we talk about this being dear to my heart, my mom used to be a foster parent, and my three younger siblings she adopted out of foster care. So this particular program is long overdue. I could think about so many kids that have aged out prior to that wasn't able to take advantage of this. So I'm so proud of all of you all for, one, taking advantage of the program and coming up here and being a part of the process. And I just hope that I can encourage you to don't let it stop here, to take advantage, tell your peers to take advantage, and then continue to be a part of this process because this is very, very important.
And if we can hold applause or silent applause so we can keep the meeting going, I don't want to cut anybody off. Representative Rayner Goolsbee, you are recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Tremont, thank you so much for this bill. I did a bit of my practice when I was practicing in dependency court, and this is such a needed stopgap that we needed to have. A lot of times when I would work with children who are in care and then they aged out, that was it. There was really nothing else that we could do for them. And especially for them being in the position that they are in. I have been, it's wonderful to see us, you know, coming together in this way to make sure our kids have everything that they need, and have being someone who had their nephew in permanent guardianship with me. So I understand the importance of making sure that our children who are in care at any level have all the things they need to be successful, to set them up for a future. I want to tell the students with Florida Youth Shine, I am so proud of y'all. Like, I mean, wow. Wow. Y'all are tremendous. You give me hope that this country, the state's going to be okay. And I am grateful just for y'all. Like, you, today was a little bit of a hard day, and you reminded me why we do what we do. And we do it because of y'all. So thank you for being here. I am grateful that you are here. So thank you. Thank you, Representative Tremont, for this bill.
Representative Michael, you're recognized in debate.
I echo that. And Representative Tremont, I know that this comes from a place of personal touch with you, and I respect that. And thank you so much for this. We all feel the same. We love our kids. And thank you all, every one of you all that came. I hope you know it was worth the trip. I echo everything that's been said. It's great when we can come together from across sides and vote on something so beautiful as this. And to the young man, you're outnumbered with the women speaking, but we didn't get a chance to applaud you. But as Chair said at the end, we applaud you all. You all keep going. Just, the sky is the limit. Just go.
I'm just going to take an opportunity to first to our Florida Youth Shine folks, thank you so much for being here. I know this bill has been years in the works, and thank you for working with us and to get it into the posture it's in today. One of the most important things we can do to improve our foster care system is to break the cycle of children entering the system in the first place. And you all are walking that walk. You all are working to break that cycle. And for that, we applaud you, and the system applauds you, and all of the children that come after you in the system should applaud you. And you know, to you, Representative Tremont, thank you also for working with us, for working with staff to get this bill into such a great posture. One of the most important things this bill does is it meets our children where they're at. It makes sure that the department is working with the children to communicate in a way that they can hear the communication and that they can understand the communication, because having the information means nothing if they don't understand it and they can't use it. So thank you so much. I look forward to supporting this bill. You are recognized to close.
Well, normally I like to wave close, but I am a teacher, a pastor, and apparently a politician. And I got a hot mic, so I'm gonna talk for just a second. So I'll be brief, though. First of all, thank you for all the work in hearing this bill. I truly appreciate the efforts. I truly appreciate the year and all the work gone into this. I'll say this. We all ran for office for a variety of different reasons, but this is why we're here. Mm-hmm. This is exactly the reason we were elected. And we're all in this place together to do good things, to leave the world a better place. And that's exactly what this does by providing educational opportunities for these folks so they can see, they can be aware of the possibilities that they have in their lives. That will help ensure that someday that they'll stand before a committee like they did today. They'll stand before boardrooms. They'll stand before classrooms and hopefully prevent them sitting before a jury. So this is why we're here. I thank you for your support.
Representative Tremont having closed on his bill. Jude Lean, please call roll on HB 1101 and announce a vote.
Representatives Basabi.
I wanted to say yes in person. I have to go present the bill. Congratulations.
No. Hall.
This is great.
Fairfield. Black.
Yes.
Barrero.
Yes.
Gossett Seidman.
Yes.
Harris.
Yes.
Joseph.
Yes.
Lopez.
Resounding yes.
Maney. Michael.
Yes.
Placencia.
Yes.
Rainer Goolsbee.
Yes.
Roach.
Yes.
Robinson.
Yes.
Tremont.
Yes.
Williams. Woodson.
Yes.
Chair Koster.
Yes.
15 yeas and 0 nays, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Julie. Members, by your vote, we show HB 1101 reported favorably as amended. Congratulations. And members, don't forget it's Children's Week, so there's all kinds of things going on this week. Thank you. Next up, members, we're going to take up HB 1337, Step into Success Workforce Education and Internship Pilot Programs by Representative Overdorf. Representative Overdorf, you're recognized to explain HB 1337.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 1337, the Step into Success Act, provides an opportunity for current and former youth, foster youth, to receive career counseling, mentorship, and a paid internship. The Act provides a pathway for foster youth to transition from the custody of the Department of Children and Families to independent living. Members, that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative. Members, any questions of the sponsor? Questions of the sponsor. Okay, seeing none, no amendments, public testimony. Jamar King, Florida Youth Shine, waving in support. Thank you for being here. Lacine Adams, Florida Youth Shine, waving in support. Thank you for being here. That concludes public testimony. Members in debate? Any members in debate? Okay. Seeing none, I guess you had a tough act to follow. You're recognized to close on your bill.
Thanks for the heavy lift on Chair and Children's Week with Rep. Tremont. I waive the remainder of my close.
Great. Having waived close, Julian, please call roll on HB 1337.
Representatives Basabi, Bearfield, Black.
Yes.
Barrero.
Yes.
Gossett Seidman.
Yes.
Harris.
Yes.
Joseph.
Yes.
Lopez.
Yes.
Maney. Michael.
Yes.
Placencia.
Yes.
Rainer Goolsbee.
Yes.
Roach.
Yes.
Robinson.
Yes.
Tremont. Williams. Woodson.
Yes.
Chair Koster.
Yes.
13 yeas and 0 nays, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Julian. Members, by your vote, we show HB 1337 reported favorably. And I would be remiss to say also a fantastic bill for our foster youth. So thank you so much for bringing it.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you, members.
Next up, members, HB 7037, Public Guardians and Employees with Fiduciary Responsibility by Representative Porras. Representative, you are recognized to explain HB 7037.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, HB 7037 saves from repeal and narrows the public record exemption for certain identifying and location information, including home addresses, telephone numbers, and dates of birth of current and former public guardians, employees with fiduciary responsibility, and their spouses and children. And that is the bill, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Members, any questions of the sponsor? Seeing none, no public testimony. Members in debate? Any debate on the bill? Seeing none, you're recognized to close.
I'll waive my close, Madam Chair.
Okay, having waived close, Jude Lean, please call roll on HB 7037. Now it's a vote.
Representatives Basabi. Bearfield.
Yes.
Black.
Yes.
Barrero.
Yes.
Gossett Seidman.
Yes.
Harris.
Yes.
Joseph.
Yes.
Lopez.
Yes.
Maney.
Yes.
Michael?
Yes.
Placencia?
Yes.
Rainer Goolsbee?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Tremont? Williams? Woodson?
Yes.
Chair Koster?
Yes.
15 yeas and 0 nays, Madam Chair.
Members, by your vote, we show HB 7037 reported favorably. Congratulations. Next up, we have HB 625, Children Initiative Projects, by Representative Bracey Davis. You are recognized to explain HB 625.
Thank you, Chair Koster, Ranking Member Robinson. I am so grateful for the opportunity to present my very first bill to this committee.
Okay.
This is a simple bill that writes into statute two additional children's initiative projects for the city of Orlando. The two programs would be Mercy Drive Kids Zone and Inglewood Kids Zone. This bill will allow the city of Orlando to expand an extremely successful programming model for our children in two neighborhoods that have met the defined criteria. As you may know, the Children's Initiative Project assists disadvantaged areas within the state in creating community-based service networks that develops, coordinates, and provides quality education and youth mentoring programs for children living within designated areas. It has proven statistics and hard data that this program curbs criminal activity and helps kids expand their horizons who may have otherwise fallen prey to their environment. Again, this bill serves to add two additional sites. That is the bill, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Fantastic presentation. Members, any questions of the sponsor? Okay, seeing none, we do have an amendment. Representative Bracey Davis, you're recognized to present amendment barcode 726529.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, this amendment conforms the bill to be identical to the Senate companion and clarifies the legislative findings and intent. It also clarifies the policy, procedure, and process for the Children's Initiative Project. That is the amendment.
Thank you. Members, any questions on the amendment? No public testimony on the amendment. Members, debate on the amendment. You're recognized to close on your amendment.
Waive close.
Okay, having waived close, without objection, we will show the amendment adopted. We are now in public testimony on the bill as amended. And we have Reginald Burroughs III, City of Orlando, waiving in support. Latoya Shields Becker, waiving in support. That concludes public testimony. Members, any debate on the bill as amended? Representative Woodson, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Rep. Davis, on your first bill on Children's Week, actually, I just want to tell you that you have done a fantastic job working on this bill. Not only you were open to answer questions, and I know a lot about this program because I used to, when I work in Miami-Dade County, they started, the governor, that was in place at the time started this program. And it's a fantastic program, as you mentioned. I really commend you on taking on this bill because we are elected to serve our community and you are doing just that by bringing it to Orlando as well. It's been very successful and it's really helping a lot of young children to become successful, ready to enter school. And also it keeps them out of, you know, issues, crimes, and everything that can keep them from being successful when they're in school. So I appreciate your work. I really commend you, and I say congratulations on your first bill as well. Thank you.
Representative Rayner Goolsbee, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Bracey Davis, this is such a great bill. And just knowing your background, how you started as an attorney advocating for children in our system, children who entered care, and to see you've come full circle as a representative with this bill, once again ensuring in this position that our kids have everything that they need, and then for it to be heard on Children's Street, such as Representative Woodson said, I think that this is just obviously very clear that you are in the right path, in the right place at the right time, and it's divine, and I'm excited to be up on this bill. I'm going to also be excited to co-sponsor this bill as well. So thank you so much for this bill, and I look forward to seeing it on the House floor.
Seeing no other members in debate, Representative, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, members. Thank you for your debate. And your congratulations. Members, this is a good bill. I just want to stress that we are simply amending the current statute so that the City of Orlando is permitted to provide these services to these two additional neighborhoods. This is not the first time that we've expanded this well-meaning program. And once again, I humbly ask that you give our kids in these two neighborhoods the best shot at success through the expansion of the Children's Initiative. And with that, Madam Chair, I close.
Thank you, Representative. Having closed on her bill, Jude Lean, please call roll on HB 625 and announce a vote.
Representatives Basabi? Bearfield?
Yes.
Black?
Yes.
Barrero?
Yes.
Gossett Seidman?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
Lopez?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes, ma'am.
Michael?
Yes.
Plasencia?
Yes.
Rayner Goolsbee?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Tremont? Williams?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Chair Coster?
Yes.
16 yeas and 0 nays, Madam Chair.
Members, by your vote, we show HB 625 reported favorably as amended. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. And I just wanted to bring this up as today we had several bills that was really, really important and great. At the end.
I'm going to get you in just a minute.
Okay.
Hold that thought. How's that? Okay. Members, we've got our final bill on agenda, HB 1007, Children Removed from Caregivers. Representative Barrero, you're recognized to explain HB 1007.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I'll be presenting here from my desk, as that seems to be a bit of a long walk from this side, and this chair is a little comfortable, so I'll take my privilege of presenting here from this desk. Members, House Bill 1007, in the spirit of Children's Week, is another bill designed to assist children who are removed from their parents or caregivers. This bill requires community-based care lead agencies to provide a trauma-focused assessment when children are removed from their home so that they can ensure that they are receiving treatment for that therapy. That is a bill.
Thank you. Members, any questions on the bill? Okay. Any public testimony on the bill? Oh, I'm sorry. We have an amendment. Representative Barrero, you're recognized to present amendment barcode 663487.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So the amendment here specifies that a lead agency must administer a valid trauma-focused screening as opposed to an assessment. As implied by the name, a comprehensive behavioral health assessment is very comprehensive, and that those are services that are currently being provided. So what the amendment does is it clarifies that community-based care lead agencies must provide a screening for children who are removed from a parent or caregiver, and it also specifies that this screening specifically focus on the trauma that is brought about by the removal from that traumatic incident that takes place.
Thank you. Members, any questions on the amendment? Okay, seeing none, any public testimony on the amendment? No. Members, any debate on the amendment? Debate on the amendment? You're recognized.
Just a quick debate. Just want to say that this is really important for them to have that screening, so I thank you for actually adding that to the bill.
You're recognized to close on your amendment.
I'll waive closing the amendment.
Okay, we are, without objection, we're going to show the amendment adopted. We are now back on the bill as amended. Members, any public testimony on the bill as amended? None. Members, any debate on the bill as amended? Debate on the bill as amended. Representative Williams, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Rep. Barrera, I want to say thank you for taking the time to answer some of the questions that I had about this bill itself. It's very important when we are working with kids that's out of care and you took the time to make sure the questions and the concerns that I had was actually addressed. So I want to say thank you for that.
Representative Woodson, you're recognized in debate.
Quick debate. Great job, Rep. Barrera. You know, separation anxiety is real for adults as well as children. So this is a very important bill, as we know that mental health is a major issue in our community, and you're trying to address it early on with the children when they are separated from their parents. Thank you for coming up with this bill. I look forward to support you on it and all my colleagues as well. Thanks.
Ranking Member Robinson, you're recognized in debate.
And I just wanted to add, this screening is very important, and I would even like to see maybe further down the line actually giving some coping mechanisms. So working in the high school, I see kids that are separated, and a lot of times they do the evaluation, and they're not really, they don't have any help on actually learning how to cope with having that separation, you know, just some steps on how to do it. So then they act out in different ways. So the screening is, I think, definitely a first step and is really important. But to further this, maybe down the line, looking at actually giving them strategies and points on how to actually deal with it is where we can go from here.
Seeing no further debate, Representative Barrera, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, members, for your comments. And Rep. Robinson, I'm happy to work with you and take any recommendations with you to even make this bill better if possible. I'd also like to thank the Chair Koster and Hillary for working closely with me to come up with this language for this bill. And just to clarify, this bill requires a screening and to focus on any trauma that happened as a result of removal and to identify whether or not that therapy is required to ensure that follow-up therapy is provided later. So it would eventually amount to therapy being provided. There is a significant amount of trauma that a child faces when he's removed from his parent. If you can think about the feelings of loss, of grief, of betrayal to whoever reported the situation of trauma that would even lead to a removal having being required in the first place. So it's important that we ensure that these children are getting the assistance that they need and to cope with that trauma and how they can heal. So with that, I would like to ask for your favorable support.
Representative Barrera having closed in his bill, Jude Lean, please call roll on HB 1007 and announce a vote.
Representatives Basabi, Bearfield?
Yes.
Black?
Yes.
Barrero?
Yes.
Gossett-Seidman?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
Lopez?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes, ma'am.
Michael?
Yes.
Plasencia?
Yes.
Rainer Goolsbee?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Tremont? Williams?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Chair Koster?
Yes.
16 yeas and 0 nays, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Members, by your vote, we show HB 1007 reported favorably as amended. So members, that does conclude our agenda for today. And as I assume you figured out by some of Ranking Member Robinson's comments, this will be our last meeting for this session. I'm going to ask Ranking Member Robinson to, if you would like to share a few words with the committee, we'd love to have that.
Well, this is a committee that just brings me so much joy because everything that usually comes through here is providing assistance and helping our communities, but more importantly, our children. And so one of the things that I really want to say, especially today, we had so many pieces of legislation that was really, really impactful and that was necessary, and it was just really good. But one of the things I want us to keep in mind as we do this, because a lot of this falls under DCF, and being that, at least in my community, I've had a close relationship working back with different agencies, we have to make sure that we don't only put this in legislation, but that we give them the resources and support that they need to really make this impact. And so that's something I just wanted us to point out, is that we create these really great pieces of legislation and we put them into law, but we have to still make sure that we go back and support the agency to ensure that they're able to implement it and make it happen for us. So I enjoyed being on this committee with you all this year, and I look forward to all of the great legislation we've passed actually being signed into law.
Thank you, Ranking Member. And Vice Chair Maney asked to defer his comments to me, so I'm going to speak for twice as long. I think we still have about an hour left. All seriousness, this has been such an honor and a privilege to be able to chair this committee and to work with all of you. We have such a passionate group of folks on this committee, and I love it because everything that we do on this committee impacts the most vulnerable populations in our districts. And, it's work that I've done a little bit of in my private life. I know pretty much everybody on this committee has touched these issues in their private lives as well, which has really bolstered our conversations this session. So it's been awesome to work on it. I love it. Let's keep up the good work. If this wasn't a feel-good children's agenda for Children's Week, then I don't know what was. So thank you, Hillary, for really just being a great partner in this endeavor. Thank you, Judeline. And to all of the staff for being incredible to work with. Everything that we've done, we're breaking cycles here, and that's really the best thing we can do, particularly for our vulnerable children. So let's keep fighting the good fight. My door is still always open, so if there are additional ideas or things that folks want to work on or keep working on, please don't hesitate to reach out. And with that, it concludes our agenda. Vice Chair Maney moves we rise without objection. Our last meeting is adjourned.